Biographies of King Charles III, available from RNIB Talking Books. The Prince of Wales by Jonathan Dimbleby. For this remarkable study of the then heir to the British throne, Jonathan Dimbleby was given unprecedented access to his subject, as well as spending many hours in wide-ranging and candid conversations with Prince Charles. The author has interviewed scores of people, including his personal staff and close friends, most of whom had never talked openly about the prince before. The author has also drawn freely from the prince's own archives, including more than 10,000 letters, private journals and diaries, none of which has hitherto been made public.
Just before midnight on the 14th of October 1948, a proclamation was posted on the railings outside Buckingham Palace announcing that Princess Elizabeth had been safely delivered of a son. A little earlier, a policeman on the gate had already whispered the word, and the crowd, which numbered more than 3,000, had duly serenaded a tall figure crossing the courtyard with, "For he's a jolly good fellow," in the mistaken belief that he was the Duke of Edinburgh. Now they peered inside each car that crunched across the gravel and gave the unyielding profile of Queen Mary, the infant's great-grandmother, a cheer of unaffected warmth. The enthusiasm swelled with the crowd, so that soon after midnight a police car cruised round the Victoria Monument, urging the celebrants through a megaphone, "For a little quietness, please." In Trafalgar Square, the fountains sparkled blue for a boy, while editors in Fleet Street shuffled headlines and composed their thoughts for the following day. The message was cabled abroad at once. Across the Empire and the Commonwealth, as in Britain, they raised the Union Jack, hung out the bunting, and rang the church bells. Warships of His Majesty's naval fleet on station across the globe fired a royal birthday salute. Radio stations throughout the United States interrupted scheduled programs with the announcement, which led every news bulletin and formed the lead story across the front pages of an entranced American press. On the 16th of November, Winston Churchill rose from his place in the House of Commons to congratulate Princess Elizabeth. The leader of the opposition was at his most mellifluous. "Our ancient monarchy renders inestimable services to our country, and to all the British Empire and Commonwealth of Nations. Above the ebb and flow of party strife, the rise and fall of ministries and individuals, the changes of public opinion and fortune, the British monarchy presides, ancient, calm and supreme within its functions, over all the treasures that have been saved from the past, and all the glories we write in the annals of our country. Our thoughts go out to the mother and father, and in a special way today, to the little prince, now born into this world of strife and storm."
Read by John Cartwright. The Prince of Wales by Jonathan Dimbleby runs for 23 hours and 44 minutes. Our second biography of King Charles III, Prince Charles, The Misunderstood Prince by Sally Smith. Drawing on extensive access to the royal family's inner circle, Sally Beryl Smith delivers unprecedented insights into Prince Charles, a man who possesses a fiercely independent spirit and yet has spent his life in waiting for the ultimate role. Beginning with his lonely childhood, Smith details his intellectual quests, his entrepreneurial pursuits, and his love affairs, from the tragedy of his marriage to Diana to his eventual reunion with Camilla, as well as his relationship with the next generation of royals, including Will, Kate, Harry, and his beloved grandchildren.
The contrast between Charles's honeymoon with Diana and his own parents' idyll at Broadlands and Birkhall in 1947 was striking. For Princess Elizabeth and Philip, Broadlands was a haven of happiness they had each enjoyed while growing up. Birkhall in the Scottish Highlands was resonant with memories of a carefree childhood before her father became king. In letters to her parents during the honeymoon, They spoke of the depth of their mutual adoration and their determination, in Philip's words, to be joined in a new combined existence, able to withstand the shocks directed at us and serve as a force for good. For Charles and Diana, Broadlands was an unfortunate reminder of the absent Dicky, not to mention the very place where the prince had courted Camilla for 6 months in 1972. The newlyweds spent 2 days in the 18th-century mansion with its rolling grounds. Charles fished in the swift waters of the River Test, but failed to catch any salmon. Writing to a friend about his reaction to the wedding, Charles seemed detached from his personal feelings, describing instead how moved he had been by the public's good old-fashioned innocent enjoyment. It was on their 2-week Britannia voyage through the Mediterranean that the gulf between the newlyweds emerged. Diana dashes about, chatting up all the sailors and the cooks in the galley, etc., Charles wrote to one of his friends, while I remain hermit-like on the veranda deck, sunk with pure joy into one of Lawrence Vanderpost's books. They had candlelit dinners and went ashore for picnics on secluded beaches. But Charles's bachelor ways ran deep. He needed solitude to paint, read, and write letters. Diana, by turns, craved his attention and stewed over her jealousy of Camilla.
Prince Charles, the Misunderstood Prince, by Sally Smith, is read by Laurel Lefko, and it runs for 18 hours. Arthur's biography of King Charles III, Rebel Prince, The Power, Passion and Defiance of Prince Charles, by Tom Bower. Few heirs to the throne have suffered as much humiliation as Prince Charles. Despite his hard work and genuine concern for the disadvantaged, he has struggled to overcome his unpopularity. After Diana's death, his approval rating crashed to 4% and has only been rescued by his marriage to Camilla. Nevertheless, just 1/3 of Britons now support him to be the next king. Many still fear that his ascension to the throne will cause a constitutional crisis. That mistrust climaxed in the aftermath of the trial of Paul Burrell, Diana's butler, acquitted after the Queen's sensational recollection. In unearthing many secrets surrounding that and many other dramas, this book reveals a royal household rife with intrigue and misconduct.
In early November 2000, Scotland Yard's Detective Chief Inspector Maxine de Brunner, one of Britain's most senior female police officers and marked within the Metropolitan Police as a high flyer, was given an unusual tip by a retired police officer, a director of Spink, a respected auction house and fine art showroom in Mayfair, had boasted, while intoxicated, at a party during an antiques fair in America that he was selling a 2-foot gold and silver model of a Dow, originally worth an estimated £500,000. The piece, he said, had been a wedding gift from the Emir of Bahrain to Charles and Diana. Just how Spink obtained the model was unclear, but its path from Kensington Palace to Mayfair was undoubtedly murky. While de Brunner considered her next step, a national newspaper reported the story, illustrated by a photograph of the Dow in Spink's window. Our hand was forced, admitted one of the officers on de Brunner's squad. They had to investigate. The following day, de Brunner and other officers drove to Mayfair and seized the expensive piece. Spink's records showed that the Dow had been brought to the showroom on the 11th of November 1997, about 10 weeks after Diana's death. The seller was Harold Brown, a butler at Kensington Palace. His contact at the showroom was one Jan Havlik. Further searches in the records showed that Havlik had previously bought, also from Brown, a diamond and emerald pair of Diana's earrings and a bangle. He had paid £1,200 in cash for the Dow. Spink was selling it for £30,000, as some of the precious stones were missing. Days later, de Brunner led a raid on Brown's flat at Kensington Palace. They found that the apartment was filled with Charles and Diana's possessions, including the Dow's base. The butler was arrested.
Rebel Prince, The Power, Passion and Defiance of Prince Charles by Tom Bower is read by Paul Noble and runs for 14 hours, 51 minutes. For more information about these royal books and well over 30,000 other titles of fiction and non-fiction, head to rniblibrary.com or call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 and ask about Talking Books.